You're listening to the BBS Radio Network, and this is Between Two Worlds with Derek White Sky Cloud, healer, author, shaman, paranormal investigator. Stay tuned. Up next is Between Two Worlds with Derek White Sky Cloud.
Hey, welcome everyone. This is Derek White Sky Cloud, and you listen to Between Two Worlds Radio. And I'm on bbsradio.com. Follow. Hey, guess what? This is something cool. We actually have a new TV program called Ustream TV, and it's actually set up at the bbsradio.com. So if any of you guys actually want to go out there and you want to share, you want to see my pretty face on there, please welcome. Join yourself in there and go to the front page on bbsradio.com. You'll see the show being recorded. We also like to welcome you guys in the Pal Talk room. We have that set up here for today as well. And also we have the BBS Radio chat room. Now, those of you who don't know how to get into the BBS Radio chat room, go to the front page. You'll see on the left side it says Listen Live, or How to, it says How to Listen. And you just basically click on that button, and it'll get you to that room, and you'll see it says BBS Radio chat room. You get yourself on that button again. It'll take you register on that, and you're in the room, and you can chat away with all the neighbors. And also, if you guys have any questions you want to ask through this program, I'm willing to listen. I'm looking forward to having you hear from you folks, actually sharing any questions you want to ask regarding this show. I'm looking forward to having this happen. We have a very special guest coming on. Now, I know this fellow for the last couple of years, or these guys the last couple of years. I had them on, or actually, they were on a previous radio show called APSR Radio with Dr. Jimmy. And I was actually one of the people that just somehow heard what they were interviewed regarding a certain issue a couple of years back. And it was regarding one of their paranormal investigations, and they're curious about if anybody might have some answers. So I decided to call in the radio show and told them who this person or persons is that's related to the investigation. I actually kind of shocked myself when I said this, but when these guys actually did confirm with me after that all these events somehow did happen. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But the guests I have for today, this week I have Greg Myers. He's with the Paranormal Task Force in Missouri. These guys have been doing it for quite a while, I believe. And actually, with Greg, now Greg has had personal paranormal encounters since being a teen and has years of paranormal investigative experience. He is well-versed with haunting classifications, paranormal investigative techniques, and leadership, for example. Greg has served as a technician and supervisor while serving in the military and has further enhanced his education and abilities with legal issues while serving over 10 years in the legal field. With his background of legal issues, lobbying experiences, and issue advocation, he hopes to apply these skills to the enactment and strengthening of haunted house and psychological impact disclosure laws for the prospective property owners, tenants, and lessees. Now, Greg has also has an extensive background in genealogical research, and familiarization with record research vital to the research of potential haunted properties. Greg is also the one that shares the philosophy that paranormal investigations can come with many unknown dangers which are not properly addressed by most of the paranormal research field. This and other important issues are overlooked and need further advocation to current and future researchers and investigators within this field. Now, Greg adheres to a humanistic approach to the investigation, which always places the client first above everything else. Greg became part of a Missouri paranormal research in August 2005, serving as a co-administrator, lead investigator, and EVP specialist. While serving with MPR, Greg became an instrumental element in the collection and analysis of the evidence in a case involving an extreme inhuman haunting and possession. Now, this haunting was featured on the Discovery Channel. The program was called A Haunting. The series as the season 3 opener in October 2006, and Greg then co-founded the Paranormal Task Force Incorporated in October 2006. Paranormal Task Force Incorporated is not a not-for-profit incorporation which educates and promotes the awareness of paranormal research as well as other historical and paranormal-related issues, along with providing assistance to the public and other organizations. The Missouri Paranormal Research now serves as a non-extreme investigative and research division, while other divisions will be launched, making Paranormal Task Force Incorporated a one-stop resource for all paranormal needs of clients, the public, and other organizations as well. Now, Greg has been featured guest on many radio shows across the U.S., the U.K., and Canada, and has completed filming early this year in 2007 with Keith Age and the Booth Brothers for the premiere of Children of the Grave, which was released October 2nd, 2007, which I've got, guys. I got the DVD. I watched it. It's phenomenal. We'll talk about that. It will show on the Sci-Fi Channel Network in 2008. I don't know what date that will be. And he also served as a location manager for that project. He also completed filming for the Expiro Productions documentary, The Other Side, which was released in 2007. Now, Greg has also authored articles and short stories concerning his experiences within the paranormal realms and theories related to such, which are published on the World Wide Web, and some of these articles and stories have been selected for inclusion in Weird Hauntings 2 and Weird Missouri, which will be published in near future. Now, Greg has also recently been added to the League of Paranormal Gentlemen. Now, that is cool. That is so cool. You know, I'm going to actually introduce Greg on. Greg, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi, Derek. How's it going?
Welcome to the show.
Welcome. Long time no hear.
Long time no hear. Last time I talked to you was probably the last couple of years ago. Really? Was that the time you were being interviewed, wasn't it?
Well, I think there was one time between there when I was on a case I had to give you a call for some advice.
Oh, yeah, I think it was actually someone was dealing with something regarding in the States, near Seattle, wasn't it?
Yeah, you were in Seattle, but I mean, last year I think I had to call you and get some technical advice on a situation.
Yeah, I too. Now, I've got so many questions to ask you on this program. If you can share with me anything else that I've missed in here.
God, no. I think you took the long version. I know I emailed the short version, but you can ask the long one somewhere.
I wanted to give you a little bit more of let people know what's going on. The business that you're doing, what you're doing right now, I find it, I do the same thing. I'm a paranormal investigator here in Canada, Vancouver. And the work that you do is actually quite phenomenal. I've actually been on your website many times, and I've actually seen some pretty phenomenal pictures, photographs. Now, folks, if you ever want to go to their site, it's paranormaltaskforce.com. The paranormaltaskforce.com. You will actually see there's a variety of items every page you can think of, and look at the photographs and even the EVPs. The one main, besides we talk about Children of the Grave, there's one main page on the EVPs that really got my attention. And that was the JonBenet Ramsey.
Yes, those were submitted by one of our friends, Tom, in Colorado, who lives
okay.
up there in Boulder near the Ramsey residence.
Now, it's somehow, when I listen to the EVP, now those of you out there need to know, the word is electronic voice phenomena. They record voices of others besides ourselves from the spirit world. When this person recorded the EVP, what did you feel you got from that? What did it really answer? Was it dad that hurt his little girl? Was it mom or somebody else?
That's one of those things that it's there, but it's hard to bring out fully. And it's been a while since I've listened to that one. But if I remember from my first instinct, I believe it sounded something on the lines of the Father.
Yes. I think so. I've actually have told a lot of people I think the Father had something to do with it. Or knows more than he's supposed to.
And also on the photo page, the photo analysis page, there's also a really good picture that Tom Trapp from Colorado sent as well. And that was also featured in the Children of the Grave movie. They actually showed it in there.
Yeah.
And that's of the Ramsey house with the little, like, spirit girl in front of it.
Well, you know, it's going to be quite interesting when this comes out.
Well, actually, it already came out. It aired earlier this month.
Okay.
On Sci-Fi, and actually, it's re-airing on an encore performance tomorrow at 1 p.m. Central Time.
Okay, probably because I... Oh, you got the Sci-Fi channel?
Yes.
We don't get it here in Canada.
Oh.
That's the hard part. You know, sorry, but Canada is kind of, like, slow.
Our censorship, one of the two.
Well, yeah, they do. They're a little bit of an unusual group of people, I think. I think they're just a little behind. We don't have a Sci-Fi channel, but we do have another channel called... Oh, now I forgot what it's called. It's like a Sci-Fi channel. I'll remember it now later on down the road. But we do have something similar to it. We don't get as much stuff. Now, you know, what I've noticed here in Canada, what they're doing, actually, they're putting a lot of the paranormal investigations, a lot of the psychic shows, and they're putting them on the Space Channel, not Space Channel, on the Horror Channel, which is all to do with horror films, you know, the scary movies, and you got to pay for that. So it's really, I don't know why, but they're thinking the word paranormal is supposed to be the scariest thing. If it represents ghosts, they would put on the scary channel.
I can see that in a way.
Yeah.
It depends what type of show and, you know, what it has in it.
Yeah, that's what they do. So it's quite interesting how that turns out. Yeah. Anyways, you have some videos actually on YouTube?
They're scattered about. There's some on YouTube, but they're accessible from our website.
Okay, and you also have ifilm.com. ifilm.com. You have something on there as well.
And that's for the Children of the Grave trailer.
Yeah. Okay. Now, those of you who actually want to call in, ask questions regarding this program, and if you want to ask Greg any questions regarding paranormal field, because Greg does have the experience, these are the phone numbers in the U.S., 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Now, these are toll-free numbers, folks. 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And also, the international callers is 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. Now, I want to say hello to Judy as well.
Okay. She's downstairs with the kids. I know she's doing some stuff.
Now, I want to give her another call, a huge compliment on her part. But she's got a, she calls herself Paravoyance.
Right, that's a division we started under the Paranormal Task Force, and that's going to deal with the metaphysical side of things.
Yeah, I like that. I think it's pretty cool.
And that's going to be her division that she's leading. And you'd be amazed, and I know you're in that category too, Derek, because you're a psychic medium. So you get a lot of calls from people just wanting their haunting assessed based off of those abilities.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
They don't want equipment. They don't want investigators. They want that clairvoyant or psychic medium to come in and just interpret what's there for them.
Well, here's the thing. You know, whenever you go on site, and the first thing they look for is a psychic medium. They figure that the medium should come on the site with them and say, well, who's here? What I like to do first is have everyone that is, you know, it doesn't follow the psychic sense of it, but just bring in your equipment, be yourself, walk in there. You feel what feels your and those energies from it. You know what I mean? Like you listen to that area, listen to the sounds, the voices, ask questions, feel what feels right for you before you get a medium in there. You know, because if you didn't have a medium in there, or if you did have a medium there, that was, I think, a little bit would spoil it too quickly.
Yeah.
Because, again, I think you'd be looking for somebody by specifics first. unless you know the story of that location.
Yeah, we do it kind of the same way. I don't give our sensitive investigators any information.
Yeah.
And we do take them with us. They're kind of blind going in, you know, on the night we're investigating. They don't participate in a safety walkthrough or anything else that we do, you know, before the investigation.
Yes.
But I found, you know, utilizing the sensitive investigators along with the scientific side, which sounds like you do also, just pans out very well, because a lot of times they'll pick up energies in areas that the client doesn't notice or mention having any activity in, and we'll mix our equipment. We'll set up equipment, you know, where the client is experiencing a lot of their activity, and then we'll mix in some where the sensitive investigators point out.
Yeah.
And many times the captures come from the areas that sensitive investigators, you know, have outlined for us.
Yeah. I like going in cold. Literally, because it does get cold spots in there.
Right, and that's a good way to do it.
Yeah.
I've
seen a few people go through some investigative places that are very, very haunted. I mean, I'm working on a location that actually, it's now a bistro, a restaurant, but before that it actually was a federal penitentiary, and they executed 31 men individually throughout the years. And this is from the back from the 1850s to about 60 some years, so it'll be about 100 years difference.
And that's where it's good to go in cold, because in a situation like that, if the sensitives know the history of the place, that's going to be very suggestive, you know, to them before they walk in the door.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, I love utilizing that method of integrating both science and that metaphysical side, and I think it's something that a lot of teams out there overlook.
Yeah.
You got a lot of teams that are all psychics or mediums, and then you have teams that are all science-based, and they don't like integrating, you know, the two together.
I was going to ask you the question, because someone here asked the question, which is an anonymous caller, saying, how important is research and analysis in these investigations?
Research and analysis on the scientific side, or just the normal client-based side, is very, very important. You have to develop the research, you know, you have to go by your client's needs.
Yes.
You know, the client's going to have, an interest in the research, you have to do the research. You have to fully assess and analyze the situation before you even go in. You have to know what sort of dangers you might be stepping into. And that's another area overlooked a lot of times, is that the paranormal does come with those hidden dangers. A lot of people watch these shows on TV and they think, you know, they could run out there by themselves, hop into some abandoned building, and nothing's going to happen. And many times I think you're on the other side of that calling, too, to where you know, things can happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whether it be a push, shove, you know, a psychic attack, you know, on a sensitive or even a non-sensitive, or just seeing something and being afraid and running in the dark.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a good combination. You know, you have to go in, you know, with your... everything, all your little ducks in a row, I guess, would be a good way to put it.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you know, now here we go. Let's talk about Children of the Grave.
Oh, okay.
I did interview the Booth brother, one of the Booth brothers, and Chris Booth is one. I actually had on my show a while back, and he had very interesting stories to talk about. Regarding what he had done on site. Now, he was basically, you know, trying to promote Children of the Grave. Now, I'm going to show you folks out there right now. This is the DVD. Those are actually seeing it on site. This is the DVD, and it's called Children of the Grave. You can order it under what, who do you order it from there, Greg?
You order it from the Booth Brothers. That's probably the least expensive source, and www.childrenofthegrave would be the easiest place to go to.
Okay. Now, if you guys want to see parts of the video, some of the interviews, they do have on that site about 3 or 4 interviews and even some of the investigations in there. This video is totally, totally on the edge of your toes. I loved it. I mean, especially what I found interesting were the, I'm not sure this is the video or not, but the one about the kids that are on top of the hill in the forest.
Yeah, that's all in there as well.
Yeah, I mean, I've never seen a picture like that before.
No, and you already analyzed one of Tom's pictures in the past of a different location. It's just a person who has a special gift.
Yeah.
And I don't think he realizes how special that gift is.
Well, the other part, too, that I found interesting, heard interesting, that Chris was telling me that when he found this little arm piece, it's actually an arm hook that belonged to a little girl. And he found, I think, I'm not sure how he got it. I think through it was either through eBay or something like this, he said. And it belonged to the very same location where you guys were actually investigating at the time. And he says, it was just there when all of a sudden it was for sale.
Sometimes.
And so he decided to get it, and they used it in the photograph with this little girl, pretending to be that little girl.
Sometimes it's odd how things, you know, come around on the circle.
It was amazing. Now, when you were in this building yourself, how did it make you feel? How did you, how much time do you spend there?
Well, it depends on which one. We were involved in two of the segments, and that was the Pythian Castle in Springfield, Missouri.
Yeah.
And then also the Zombie Road segment near St. Louis, Missouri.
Okay.
A lot of what they filmed over in Indianapolis, we didn't make that trip there. And we were involved with the Whispers Estate in Mitchell, Indiana as well.
Okay. Now this one here, these are the one with all the children that had no names. This one here actually had all just numbers on them.
Right. I believe that was out at the Indianapolis orphanages, and that
okay.
was one thing I missed out on.
Had they talked about tearing that building down?
I'm not sure. I think there's a historical society that's preserving the main one, at least. There's like four that were mentioned in the movie. I know several of them are, a couple at least, are gone now.
Yeah.
But I think the last standing one is going to be preserved.
Yeah. Because, I've been to a few places. I mean, like, I remember when I was a kid living in Brandon, Manitoba, there was a very old building, all done in brick, red brick. And it was actually one of the original hospitals. And then they built a new hospital just beside it, and they turned the old hospital into a nurse's training center. This is back in the 60s. And now the hospital that is there now, the new hospital that was there back then that was built, now that hospital is considered being old, and now they're going to build a new hospital. What they do with that brick building, I'm not too sure, but I remember when I used to stand next to it, it was very creepy feeling.
Now that sounds like a neat place.
Yeah.
And that disheartens me a lot of times when I see these historical places get razed or demolished so something new could come in.
It happens everywhere. You know, when they want to clear something out, we actually had there was a nightclub here that's been here for about 25, 30 years, just down the road from us, I'd say about 2 miles away. And this particular nightclub was very dangerous. Like, it was like a lot of people got hurt. And some people died there, you know, murdered in this nightclub throughout the years. And they decided to sell the place. And they turned it into a mall. They turned it into like a shopping mall, which basically the original shopping mall now is actually a big, huge grocery store. When you walk in, I've never been to the nightclub itself, but now when I walk into this building that is now a grocery store, I never feel such a heavy energy, like it's such a heavy, burdened energy in this store. I couldn't believe the feeling. I felt so sad. Like, I felt so depressed. You know, you shouldn't be depressed being in this building that's actually a brand new building, but it's still on an area that there was still turmoil.
Still a residual of the property.
Residual still there, and I know very well, I always tell people, you know, if you're going to knock down an old building, I always tell people you need to seriously consider to cleanse the land first, bless it first before you put something else on top of it.
But a lot of your skeptics out there, especially developers, they don't want to, you know, bother.
Oh, no, they don't.
And that leads into an interesting story, because this past weekend we investigated a place near St. Louis called Misty Manor. And it's one of the last old homes up on this bluff area where there used to be a lot of Native American burials going back a long ways.
Yeah.
And a developer 5 years ago when he started came across some of the mounds, and instead of calling the proper archaeological departments and that to have it assessed, he just took dynamite and blew them up and took the finds.
Oh, my God.
The finds were cheaper than going through, you know, the long procedure that it would take by law. So, you know, no wonder why the area would be at distress now, you know, when somebody like that came through and this, you know, well, here's an angel.
Did he have permits to do this?
No, he just blew them up and took a $10,000 fine for each one.
Oh,
so
man.
So it's kind of ironic you mention that, but, you know, when you get into developers and commercialized people, a lot of them, you know, the bottom line is the dollar bill.
As long as they can make money, that's all they do, and they don't care who it affects. You know, I'm sorry, but I mean, it's going to affect the people themselves, the ones that buy the place that move in.
Right.
You know, it's typical, your poltergeist, there you go. If it goes into a poltergeist, someone's going to pay for it.
Well, in this case, yeah, how would you like to be shopping for shoes and be at that spot where he blew up one of them? You know, so that's a bad thing. I like to advocate out there, you know, anyone that's in the paranormal community, they need to be actively involved in their historical society somewhere.
Yes.
You know, that's a give back to the community. A lot of the historical societies, the people in them, you know, some of the youngest ones and ones that we assist might be in their 60s. And it's a dying thing. If, you know, we don't get our youth back involved with them, a lot of these other properties are going to go wayside as well.
Well, everyone's been taught how to just to make a fast dollar and who cares attitude, and that's got to change.
Yeah, that has to change.
Got to change, but if the young ones start listening to what they hear and see on television or any other program, you got to filter what feels right for you before you decide to destroy something or decide to move it. You know,
yeah.
If you don't have the permits, it's better to have a permit or better at least investigate and find out the historical sense of it. If you don't know some of the history on that location, I would not recommend to even just investigate it.
No, even urban legends, you have to, you know, assess and research as well.
Oh, definitely.
A lot of those legends stem from some truce or some tragedies that might be decades old.
Yeah.
And you have to see, you know, the story might have got twisted, like the old fisherman catching the fish that kept getting bigger and bigger. But even many urban legends, there are values to them. And Zombie Road, going back to Children of the Grave, that's one of those type of areas.
Yes.
You know, some of the legends got bizarre, but the wealth of tragedy that happened in that area, you know, going back decades and decades, was just overwhelming.
Now, okay, I got someone here asking, what is your most scariest paranormal investigation that has took place with you?
The scariest one for me personally probably would have been what used to be the old Diamonds restaurant on Route 66 in Villa Ridge, Missouri, that used to be like a grand, you know, mark of the roadside, you know, for people traveling that old historic route. When we started investigating that, of all things, to start off with, I actually had an incandescent light bulb thrown at a group of us from 50 foot, you know, behind us in the back of a massive basement. Then the next day, when we were in there during the daytime looking for explainable causes for a capture we did get that night, a rusty butcher knife was thrown with a lot of force at a group of us, and it actually bounced off of a horizontal vent went back about 10 feet. And, you know, this is a place where, you know, there was a spectacular video capture along with some of the best EVP we ever captured and also still photographs. And that would probably have to be, you know, the scariest location overall. And it's kind of toss up because you got Zombie Road in there, too, because you have these shadow, you know, beings. I really don't know what they are myself because I'm not sensitive. And that's something that would be interesting with you, Derek, because a lot of our sensitives down there, they do get the residuals, they do get the human spirits.
Yeah.
But when it comes to these shadow entities, like that picture of the shadows on the hill you were talking about in the movie,
yeah,
it comes up blank. They pick up nothing on it. Like, it's a stealth type of entity that gives off no reading whatsoever for them. And it actually gets a lot of the sensitive investigators nervous, and, you know, they're afraid in those areas because of that.
Well, a lot of people used to say, everyone believed that actually a ghost or a spirit would never hurt a living being. But what if that knife did impale on someone?
Right, and I believe wholeheartedly that, you know, the paranormal can hurt or even kill. You know, you go back to the Bell Witch case, and debate that one, but, you know, look how old that case is in American history.
But didn't anybody, there's so many people now out there today still believing that the Bell Witch is actually fake.
Right, but you had a president of the United States, you know, who was quoted as talking about the Bell Witch.
Yeah.
So, you know, that has to lean to the credibility there alone, and I believe that was Andrew Jackson, who said he would rather fight an army of men than rather deal with the Bell Witch again.
So basically, he confronted that before when he was living.
Right, when he went down there to visit the Bell family because he was friends with them.
Okay.
So the paranormal, you're right. If the knife hit someone, that's going to hurt them. If someone gets pushed on a stairway, and how many times do we hear about investigators out
yep.
being pushed or shoved?
I've been pushed on a stairway before, or you swear that somebody's giving you a heart. I mean, I was giving somebody a reading one time, and I was going into the building, and I got pushed out of the door. Like, I got literally pushed out the door and landed on my butt, and I could feel his hard impact, like, boom, hit me in the chest, knocked me to the ground.
Oh, that's funny you mentioned that, because Judy, our, you know, main sensitive investigator, remember that photo on Dr. Jimmy's show?
Yeah.
That you were looking at and giving a reading? It was that location that a spirit pushed her out the front door.
Really?
Yeah, it's like it didn't want her in there. It just kept pushing her back and back and kept telling her to tell us stuff, and it got mad because I guess we wouldn't listen, so it just kept pushing her out until she was on the front porch.
Yeah, because he still believed that was his property and nobody else's but his.
Right. So in that case, we were intruders into his home, and no matter how polite or respectful we were being,
yeah.
for the fact we didn't listen to our sensitive investigators, she paid the price, you know, because he didn't understand why, you know, we didn't listen to her. So he blamed her for that.
Did you go any further in that case? Did you find out more information regarding what I gave you?
There were some indications that, yes, the one in there was in the Civil War. So that was confirmed. Other than that, it's been pretty much of a moot case because that's a very private location and we haven't had access to it since that time.
Okay, so because I remember telling them it was built in two parts and there's two grave spots in the back.
Right, it was actually down east of the place by so many hundred yards. There was like a small cemetery where the family, the original family of that house was
built. I remember mentioning to you the first and last name of that person. I don't remember his name now, but when I brought that up, I think I somehow shocked you guys.
Yeah, and that's something I can't really disclose because that was a non-disclosure, you know, on the location. And,
yeah.
And the name would give away.
But it did take place in a location that we mentioned. That was actually, it was interesting because that man came forward to me to tell you. I guess he was listening to what you're talking about, and that was his curiosity. So he wanted himself to be known. But I think if you ever went back there again, it won't be as misunderstanding as it was at first.
Right. I think he would have a better understanding. Actually, I think we did get in there one more time, but that was after a day of us doing painting and preservation.
Yeah.
So he would have saw us helping maintain his home.
Yeah.
And that was a pretty quiet evening, if I remember right.
Yeah.
Because that was one of the locations that Expiro Productions came with us and filmed some of their interviews and, you know, some of their footage at as well for the Other Side documentary.
So how's Judy's paranormal work doing?
She's doing good. You know,
she's a more confident now?
Yeah, you guys amaze me, you know, people like you and her, because I've always been so skeptic, you know, on the scientific side.
Yeah.
You know, up until, you know, maybe 4 or 5 years ago. But, you know, even you over, you know, the computer looking at a picture, it was just amazing the accuracies you gave. You know, and that's where I really learned the value, you know, the input and the abilities that gifted people like yourself or Judy or others out there have.
Yeah.
It's just hard because, you know, you have to weed out people because you have a lot of self-proclaimed people that don't have that gift.
Yes.
You know,
You got to, like you said, I always tell people, you got to filter it feels right for you. And if you feel it's not right, you don't follow through with it.
Right. And there's just been some, you know, odd experiences, you know, since that time that basically just validates the sensitive, you know, investigators we have. There's cases where a name would be given and sure enough, later I would capture it on EVP doing my sessions.
Yeah.
You know, there was one time we were in a daycare, actually, in the area doing an investigation that was a historic building. And Judy out of nowhere started, you know, asking the spirit, why are you messing with Greg's camera? Because my camera stopped because the tape ran out. And on the audio, clear as day, is an elderly lady that's saying, because I like pictures. So, you know, my skepticism has been put way, way aside on this now.
Well, she wanted her picture taken.
Right. I guess she got upset because the camera stopped running.
Oh,
but on the footage up to that point, there was nothing on the video. So that's the other thing, is why do gifted people like yourself, you know, see things when, you know, the equipment doesn't?
Yeah.
You know, that's a hard scientific, you know, part, you know, to really understand. And I'm learning with this, too. It's, you know, it's not nothing you can put into a box of scientific formulas. Every time you try, something breaks a rule.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's something that we're going to go to our graves not having a full understanding. The next generation will, and I think it's going to continue that way for a long, long time.
It takes time.
But, you know, you and your beliefs, because I believe you're Native American and Christian mix, so you have a different perspective, you know, with the Native American mixture in there.
Well, you know, I always tell people that when you mix Native American teachings with Christianity, it's very balanced.
Right.
For example, I'll tell when someone says to me, a young guy said to me, he said, you know, I'm a Christian, he says. I don't know how Native teachings have got to do with Christianity. How is it they can both blend together? I looked at him and I said, well, in our teachings, we actually have an eagle spirit. And we ask the eagle spirit become the messenger for us. And so the eagle will fly as far as it can to the Earth's atmosphere until it can't pass the Earth's atmosphere, and then it transforms into an angel. That's how it becomes a messenger.
Right, and a lot of people looked at a lot of different beliefs in spiritualism. They would see that many of them intertwine, you know, not just, you know, Christianity and the Native American beliefs, but, you know, several others as well have a lot of common denominators and beliefs within them.
Yeah. So it just takes sometimes it takes time for people to understand it. So really, that's all you can do, really. Anyways, someone also wrote in to us have you brought home any spirits with you at time when you do investigations?
That's something I learned early on. That is possible. It does happen. It has happened to me. It's actually happened to me from the infamous haunting that was featured in the haunting show, the Union Fear House. And I just learned to be more devout in my beliefs and faith and take it, you know, I learned when you do that, that you can protect yourself, you know, from such attachments coming with you.
Yeah.
But we actually brought home one thing, and that actually, in front of my eyes, the children's and the wives took off a wood clock off the wall and threw it 10 foot across the room, and it smashed into our kitchen sink and broke to pieces.
Ooh, that's not good.
And it actually pushed me down in my own bedroom. So I learned, you know, early on about that. So that is something that those investigators out there might have to take a little heed to.
Yeah.
And anchor in whatever belief they may have to be devout with that belief. Don't be wishy-washy and just practice it sometimes and then jump to something else. Because I've seen that the key denominator is having that devout faith no matter what it's in.
Some people try to experiment with different types of religions, and I always tell people, no matter how religious you are or whatever religion you follow, it still goes to the higher source. And basically what you have to ask for is the highest of good from the highest of spirit in the other world to protect you. And again, it's based on your belief system, whether it's through Jesus, whether it's somebody else, or whoever you want to deal with, you have to believe in your heart that you are protected. And if you don't believe in it, you're somehow like, well, we'll see, I'm a skeptic, we'll see. I mean, let's put it this way, if you have a skeptic on the site who doesn't believe in God, who is non-religious, for example, have you had one person like that on your site that has, like, no interest whatsoever believing in anything, and yet he wants to be there to see if he can find out if anything like this exists.
Yeah, we've had a lot of people like that. I call them self-validators, or thrill seekers, depending on how far they want to go.
Yeah, and how? And have you ever found one that's most interesting to you?
Actually, we haven't had a lot of them. Is we go through an extensive application process, and we try to screen out at least with the team members. But a lot of times, we will end up taking, you know, if it's a business, you know, the business owners or other related individuals on, you know, that might be related to the site with us.
Yeah.
And sometimes they come out of it being very disorientated. Their faith system, little bit that they had, you know, if they had any at all, gets shattered. And I think they learn that, you know, they need a faith because their skepticism was, you know, just taken and tossed out the window on them.
Yeah.
You know, there's been cases with media with us, I know, that actually went from being full skeptics to full believers, and they lost their ability to be objective to, you know, work with us anymore because of that. And, you know, one such person actually anchored, you know, back into her faith and, you know, went to church over being with us. So it is an interesting, you know, aspect on, you know, what happens sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, it does take time. Yeah, I'm just going to set. I'll let everybody else know here in these rooms, I'm not doing readings tonight, guys. Some people are asking for me to do readings.
And I'm about psychic as a rock, so I can't do that. So
we're not doing readings. Basically, who we have here on our show is Greg Myers. He's out of the Paranormal Task Force up in Missouri. He's the founding director and lead investigator for, and he's also the EVP specialist and administrator for the NPR division. Greg has actually been doing this work for quite a long time. You were in the military.
Yes, I was, the United States Navy.
United States Navy. Oh.
And yes, I was actually on a ship that had a ghost.
I was going to say, was that ship haunted? Because did you experience that with that one as well?
Oh, yeah. I had personal experience with that. A lot of times when a Navy ship is in port and things are shut down, it's called a cold iron status, and you have to establish watches, like a roving watch, you know, for your engineering spaces.
Yeah.
And we had certain, like, Filipinos from the Philippines that in one certain space they would not go into at night because of the ghost. And actually, on one time when I was down in the boiler room, I guess it came through into the space I was in, and I actually got to see him in his full dress whites walk across the deck plates. But it was also a friendly spirit that, you know, according to the ship's legend, has saved people as well. Like, when one of the boatswain's mates fell asleep one time on overboard watch, somebody actually fell overboard, and it was because of, you know, what he perceived as the spirit nudging them enough to wake him up that he was able to hear the, you know, cries of the person who fell overboard and was actually able to save him.
Wow.
And then doing maintenance on one of the auxiliary pieces of machinery that was a high-speed piece, you know, supposedly the spirit, you know, kept pulling a wrench out of the toolbox and kept leaving it lay out on the deck plates by the person doing maintenance. And he kept putting it in, and then it kept coming back out. And finally he was working somewhere and then realized the size of the wrench was like a part of a nut, you know, that fit a nut that he forgot to tighten up.
Wow.
That could have cost someone else their life. So you do have your Caspers out there as well.
Huh. Okay.
Everything from the friendly ghost to the horrid, you know, inhuman or demonic.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Now, those of you out there, actually, if you want to go to bbsradio.com, we actually do have the very first, for my show, the BBS Radio Television. It is, there's two people right now that actually have done this experiment. We're working on it. We're still working on it, testing it. We had Dr. Bell when he did his show on BBS Radio, and now I'm doing mine. I'm the second person on the program. So if you guys want to come on and join us on bbsradio.com, you'll see me with my beautiful face. I'm having fun here. to do television. And if you ever, anyone out there wants, if you are unable to get to the BBS Radio, if you want to go to ustream.tv, which is letter ustream.tv, you can go live with my show there as well. And if you ever do miss the show, you can always go back there and check program. It's actually being recorded as we speak. Or you can go to the archives. Now, we do have archives on this show, on BBS Radio. All you do is go there and register. I've been doing the show a little over 2 years now. So there's we have a lot of great people coming on that we've had, actually, were past guests. And like those, and also, too, I also have the feedback. I'd like to, if anybody actually wants to share some information regarding what you think of the show, we do have a feedback in here. Go to my page, which is basically on the bbsradio.com. You scroll down, it will say Tuesday, 8 p.m. Between Two Worlds, and you click on that page, and it will say feedback. You click on there, and you tell the BBS Radio people what you think of the show, and if you want your name to be up there on the screen and let people know that you, what your thoughts of the show, they'll actually display it for you. Because we need to know, people out there. Now, we do have 13 viewers on our front page of BBS Radio, which is not bad, a good start for the very first time. Because most people just listen in. They don't always go on to the page itself specifically, so sometimes they'll just turn on the audio and you listen to that. So what is your next project, Greg? What are you going to do next?
We have a wealth of client-based investigations, historical investigations, and then sometime here soon, we'll be working with Christopher and Philip Booth again on another project, a sequel of sorts for Children of the Grave, which should be very interesting. It's going to be called The Possessed.
Tell Chris I said hello.
Because I heard I was hearing that you might be involved in some of this. So we'll,
he mentioned that he was thinking about getting me up there to help you guys.
So that would be great to finally meet you in person.
Yeah, he says they're going to fly me up there.
Well, we did get to finally meet Dr. Jimmy in person. I don't know if you heard about that, but we had a case that involved a possessed client, and actually Dr. Jimmy came up and performed a deliverance and like a fundamental exorcism.
Well, good.
And it was something that, one of those skeptic things, I wouldn't believe unless I was there for myself.
Yeah, well, see, now we got, now we don't, if you can't get Zaphis, you got Jimmy.
Yeah, but he did good, and, you know, when some of us had our hands on the person, and you just wouldn't believe it. It just felt like there was a movement inside the body, and you could actually, you know, feel the bones popping and doing weird things.
Oh, yes. I know what that's like. I had a couple of possessions myself that I worked on. Young boy that was 15 years old, his eyes were just jet black.
Yeah,
and
that's the way this person was, too, and it was, you know, at first, you know, it was kind of funny because when there was a Bible out, she actually ran and went out the front door, and Dr. Jimmy's chasing her with the Bible. You know, I know I shouldn't, you know, laugh at something like that, but it was just something for the first time I ever witnessed firsthand, and it was just something incredible.
Wow.
And then afterwards, I was inside. Some of the people we had outside actually saw a black mass after it was successful come through the window of the residence and actually go down the street.
Wow.
So, you know, and that's when, you know, she passed out and was out for a while, and then when she came to, it was like a complete different person. The person was just so sweet and innocent.
Yeah.
You know, I just couldn't believe it. It was like a night and day difference.
I've actually have seen people that are very heavy Christian folks even become possessed themselves. And literally they had to have priests come in to depossess them, to do the exorcism in the church. And once that was done, that person was fine after that. I mean, these are people so deeply religious that they never had anything negative in their life they had to deal with, but for some reason they had a possession within themselves, and they this person, whoever the minister was or priest was just demanding that the dark, that evil get out of him or her. And it was phenomenal watching this.
Yeah, it's just, you know, different, you know, Christian standpoints or even other, you know, religions. It's just amazing on what could be done.
Yeah.
If anybody listens down in the southern states or even around Alabama where Dr. Jimmy is, after seeing it firsthand, you know, that would definitely be one on top of my list to give a call if someone is experiencing something of that nature.
Well, Jimmy's going to create a reputation for himself even more and more and more all the time. So, yeah. Anyways, we're coming to a close real quick here, Greg. I'd like to thank you for coming on.
Oh, I want to thank you. The hour just flew by. I can't.
It goes quick. I'm telling you, it does. I want to get you back here again. We've got more to talk about, so we'll have to set up a date and have you back here again one more time.
Oh, anytime I come on for you.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate it, Greg. Next week, folks, it's me. I'm doing my psychic mediumship, so those who are ready to come on to listen to or see me do my show, looking forward to see you guys next week. And this is Derek White, Sky Cloud. You listen to Between Two Worlds Radio on bbsradio.com. Folks, be safe out there. We'll take care. We'll talk to you then. Bye. Thanks, Greg.
Okay, it's off.
It's off.
Ah, okay. Yeah, I was noticing because I had the little TV thing up. It's really choppy, at least on mine. It didn't really stream.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, one frame. Is that a constant stream, or is that like a frame-by-frame random type thing?
Yeah.
No, I was just letting you know because I wasn't sure if it's working right.
Well, that part on the screen, what I pulled up right now, for some reason, it shouldn't be going frame by frame because it's supposed to move. Like mine, I'm on Ustream TV right now, and it's moving very easily for me.
Oh, okay, so it might be the browser I'm using.
Oh, yeah, they're still working out the glitches because it's we're pulling the stream over from Ustream.
Yeah, that's pretty neat, you know, so...
Yeah.
That's a good way.
It's still frozen there when I went back. I shut off and I froze it back. So, yeah, there's 10 viewers, and they're still working on it. But it will take time.
Can you integrate graphic feeds and everything into it yet, or is that something you're going to have to...
Something I got to work on.
That'd be pretty neat, because then you could do graphics and pictures and everything else.
That's what I want to do. I want to get the, you know what, you have the graphic across the screen. At the lower part, and it'll say, you know, to call in, the numbers, that kind of thing. That's what I want to do.
So yeah, you're on to something good.
Yeah, and I'm working on getting some mixing board put in here, and I got two screens on right now.
Yeah, it looks like you got...
I'm saying I'm still on the air. Ha, ha, ha!
Oh.
Okay, well, right here, we're doing pretty good. That's fine. We're still on the air. Laugh out loud. It's fun. What I'm doing for this show is, I'll just keep on talking until they stop. What they're doing for the show is, we're trying to increase it even greater to keep on going.
Yeah.
So, I'm looking forward to have it to where it is. Okay, I know very well because I talked about doing television and I've always wanted to do television and, I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, I see the stream just ended, so I wonder if that cut your feed.
That's probably what it did.
Oh, okay. But
there
if
we
you
go.
Ever need anything from us, Derek, let me know.
Okay.
And I'll keep you updated when I hear from a part of Washington, you know, let you know how they're doing on that one.
Just give Chris a scream and tell him I said hello.
Oh, I will. You know,
you can get him to give me a call. I think he's got my number. Well, at least him and I will chat. But, you know, if you guys feel like chatting sometime, give me a call.
Okay. Well, I always like using you for your, you know, wealth of, you know, experience and advice as well.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
never
I've been
know. I might be out on one of those investigations. It's like, ooh, who do I need to call? And then, you know,
you
get that ring, and you know, in the middle of the night. Hey, we got this
call. Hey, it's not the first time for me. I've had people call me at 2 o'clock in the morning, so.
Because, you know, I think, you know, a group is only as good as the resources they incorporate. In
I'm still on the air, folks. Oh, this is funny. Is anybody there going to actually shut me off?
Well, hey, bonus hour.
Oh, this is the first.
Is there another show after you, or?
Yeah. There is somebody after me. I know that.
Well, they're going to be a little upset. We're sitting here laughing. Someone on the other side is going to be cursing.
Okay. Yeah, you're still on because I got you on BBS Radio.
You want me to stay on, or?
You might as well stay on for a few more minutes and see what they do. They'll end up stopping it because there's somebody there.
Well, I'll plug real quick. The easiest way to our website, so people that are still on know, is www.catchmyghost.com.
There you go.
That's easier than the paranormaltaskforce.com.
Catchmyghost.com.